Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Today's program is brought to you by Tabard Inn, new American cuisine in one of Washington, D.C.'s oldest hotels, located in DuPont Circle. For more information, visit tabardinn.com.
Hi, this is Celia Kutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to We Dig Plants on the Heritage Radio Network. We are Groundworks Inc. I'm Alice Marcus Krieg.
And I'm Carmen DeVito.
And we design, install, and maintain gardens in and around New York City. We Dig Plants brings the culture to horticulture, and in doing so, today we're going to talk about walls. Last night there was a lot of talk about walls, too, at the debate.
Well, actually, they didn't. I don't think they mentioned the wall, but walls were put up.
Walls were put up. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, there was a lot of walls. But it was very intense, and I'm still recovering.
I feel exhausted.
Yeah, it was like I was embarrassed. I felt like the Canadians were looking down on us and laughing. You know,
about we just need a good footing. We need a good footing, and I don't feel like we've got a good footing.
Yeah, you know? I made my 17-year-old son watch it. I said, "You need to watch this." And about halfway through the debate, he said, "Mom, they're roasting each other."
Yeah,
you know, he's like, "This is really
ugly
and bad." And I said, "That's
exactly." Thank you,
Dave. Yes, exactly. It was a bomb. It was the bomb.
It was a bomb.
It was explosive. It was there's so many images, and at least I have to say, you know, I mean, this show, we don't usually get very political, but it's just so.
How can you ignore it?
You can't ignore it.
It's so deplorable. It was.
But I, one of the highlights was Bill Clinton's face.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, having to face your accusers right there. That's pretty intense.
Did you see the Photoshop image of Paul Ryan in the crowd last night in the undecided crowd?
Oh yeah, on the Onion. I was on the Onion.
I didn't see that. But who was Dave? Who is the guy in the red sweater that asked?
Oh yeah,
his name is Ken Bone,
America's sweetheart.
I know. I have a little bit of a crush on him.
Yeah.
He's adorable. He was going around snapping photos with the disposable camera.
That must have been like a security thing, right? Because I think everybody had disposable cameras.
Oh, maybe they wouldn't let
people. Like they didn't want people tweeting or I don't know what.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because I was saying, do they even sell those anymore? I mean, they only had them at cheesy weddings in the 90s.
Yeah,
you know, that
yeah,
was
yeah.
kind of. But anyway.
Hey, I had them at my wedding.
Oh.
Just kidding. I did.
Before cell phone.
But anyway.
Well, we're going to talk about a different kind of wall today. A much better kind of wall.
A great wall. Let's talk about gardens because, boy, I need to start looking at some gardens. I was looking at pictures today feeling like I need a break from all of this. Let's get some beauty into our lives.
Yeah.
So, walls in the garden. Necessary for retaining soil, for demarking property lines, for creating barriers against your neighbors. And backdrops for perennial beds. So I have this great book that's my go-to book when I'm sitting at my drafting table trying to figure out what to do with this piece of property. It's called Landscaping with Stone by Pat Sagai. And one of her quotes is, "For centuries, stone has served our needs and our fancy. Craftsmen have quarried, hauled, stacked, shaped, laid, mortared, set, shimmed, and carved stone with ingenuity that is both awe-inspiring and humbling.
That's beautiful.
It is. And I grew up with a stacked stone wall in front of my house in Connecticut. Historically, these walls were a methodology of marking land with removed stone from the land for the cultivation of land and for farming. It dates back thousands of years. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I was remembering when we were doing a project in Connecticut.
Oh, yeah. You cannot
dig a hole.
Every time that spade goes ding,
yes,
ding,
you hit a rock.
You hit a rock. Yeah. So this, of course, goes back thousands of years. And some of the most remarkable stonework is in Ireland, Scotland, and England. You know, when you
Stonehenge, come
Stonehenge,
on.
Stonehenge, right. Like, stone is a very, very important thing. And, of course, there's the land artist, Andrew Goldsworthy, who has perfected and elevated the art of stone from a utility farmland demarcation to really, really high art, right?
Beautiful.
Tapping into the spiritual side of working with stone.
And it is spiritual because it's some of the oldest stuff on the planet. I mean, it's
of the planet.
It's of the planet when you're working with it. Because Alice and I, you know, when we design gardens, we stone, you know, there's often a patio or some kind of hardscape element. Mm-hmm. And we deal with that and we try to kind of make it make sense.
Right.
With the rest of the what we call the softscape and the plants and everything. So,
and there's a good deal of localness that's needed in your stone choice, right? So that you don't have a silly-looking installation.
Yeah,
it
we would
to relate to the site.
For example, New York, Pennsylvania is known for its bluestone.
Right.
Which is a kind of slate, I guess. And we use that a lot because we prefer to use what's local. It looks right.
Right, and the browns and the reds down south, you know, the color choices and the type of stone.
Right, exactly. Versus like limestone, which might be more appropriate like in a California garden or, you know, in a place where it's just the light is different. It's a whole different palette of plants, you know.
So last December, Carmen and I went to the Boston Trade Show. And
New England Grows.
New England Grows. Mm-hmm. And we were flabbergasted at this super cool stone company product. It's called Natural Stone Wall Solutions. They're headquartered in Concord, Massachusetts. And what they have done with technology and engineering to marry stone making or stone wall building is incredible. So today we have the CEO, Troy Ginther. Did I pronounce it right, Troy?
Yeah, you did a very good job.
Good. Okay, so we have Troy on the phone. He's going to talk us through his product, and the concept is amazing. I'm hoping that everybody is Googling Natural Stone Wall Solutions right now. Troy, tell us what the product is and how it works.
Well, first of all, Allison, Carmen, thank you for having us on the radio today.
Thank you for joining us on Columbus Day.
I don't have to really say too much more. we started. I invented this company 7 or 8 years ago. It's I've got a background in civil engineering, landscape design from Harvard. So I've been in the landscape. I love the landscape. It's in our blood.
Mm-hmm.
We started this company with the one key factor is that it was going to be something different, something fun, and hold characteristic to the name of our company. We've developed and patented a process where we can bring your stone walls to the job site in a clean, safe fashion and give you 100% custom walls without the disruption that you'd, you know, be used to seeing on a large job site. It's been a lot of fun, and the guys that were with us from day one are still here, proud to say, and we've built somewhere close to 75,000 to 80,000 face feet of all custom walls, and not one is the same as the other. So it's been a lot of fun.
So tell us about the engineering, because that's the integral part. That's why your product works so well. Tell us how it's fabricated so people can understand what we're talking about.
And how it's different from how walls are typically built, yeah. Troy, because that's a very time-consuming process, you know, that requires a great deal of skill to do properly.
Correct. So the process first starts with designers like you, architects. Everything's 100% custom built. So we will talk to you. You'll issue the plans, let us know what you need. Very standard to any other start of a project. Once we have talked about the stone types, what you're looking for in your wall, we take over from there. We issue shop drawings. We work with you on designs, making sure scale is right, the lengths are correct. We bring that back to our office, and we custom build your wall off-site. So while you're working on the project, getting ready for other things, your wall is now going into production at our yard in Concord, Mass. We use 100% bulk natural field stone or natural stone from quarries, similar to what you're going to see on pallets. At the local landscape store, we just buy a whole lot more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we take that, we build it in our yard. We have custom molds and forms. We build the walls, believe it or not, face down. So the natural face of the stone is on a sand setting bed. It's built face down in our custom molds and forms. It lets us be 100% custom for each project. So if you have a curved section in your wall, those sections come curved. They come curved to the radius that you specified. So it's nothing like a Teco block or Unilock wall where you're trying to make curves out of
squares,
rectangles, yeah. And blocks and, uniform caps and just very cold and, kind of boring in our sense.
Mm-hmm.
So once we've issued the plans with you, we build that wall at our yard. It takes about 2 weeks for most projects, depending on the size. And it's as simple as that. We flip them up here at the yard, put them on trucks. We come down and we do the installation. And the amount of heads that we've turned mm-hmm. on just driving to projects or just people leaving for the day and coming back and seeing a 400 face foot wall that's an antique granite with a custom cap, just they have no idea how that just happened. And if you weren't there for the day the install happens, you would just assume that it took a mason crew a month to build.
Right. Exactly, and that's one of the things that's so amazing is that to do, let's say, 400 linear feet, you're right. It could take several weeks to get it built. And
that's given good weather.
Right. This is not yep. subject to the right. weather. I mean, you're building it probably somewhere, I'm guessing, in a covered kind of environment where there's controlled elements, right?
Correct.
You're inside.
Correct. I don't want to jump around too much, but it starts with the stone. Once the stones are put in the forms, rebar is placed behind. We have a 4,000 PSI concrete that's poured in. That's cured. We have custom lifting frames that lift all the stuff up from the backside of the walls, so nothing ever touches the face of the stone. So it's a very delicate process. And the fact that half the New England round field stone walls that we install will have the lichen, they'll have the moss on the top of the wall still from mm-hmm. When they were delivered. So it's a very gentle process on that front. So if you can just imagine, that kind of product showing up almost in a pre-made form, but looking with that, that rustic look to it, it's amazing, it's fun, we love doing it every day, and that's what happens. So instead of dump trucks full of stone getting delivered onto someone's job site and destroying their entire property for months on end and mason crews coming down and, it's a dirty business. It takes a lot of work. I mean, the guys here at our yard, they definitely make a mess, but at least, it's at our place. And when everything shows up on your job site, it's very clean. The walls are installed and there's a very minimal amount of tune-up work that's done on site. So if you can just imagine, the efficiencies that we have that just makes the job site go that much better on top of the fact that they got exactly what they wanted. They were able to come out and pick and choose what they wanted prior to all this. We have full-size samples. You've already mentioned that you saw us at the New England Grows.
Yeah.
That's been a lot of fun. I mean, it's not fun bringing 4,000-pound wall samples into that show.
Right.
But it does bring life to the product, and it's a great way of showcasing what we do, because it is really what it sounds like, and it is a lot of fun.
Literally, I think we stood there for an hour and a half.
I know we did.
I could not believe what I was seeing. It was so gorgeous.
Yeah.
And it looked...
It looked like a dry stack. The one that we saw there, it looked like a dry stack stone wall.
Right.
Which
it looked
is,
like an old Irish yeah. man and an old Italian man met at a bar and built this wall together. Like that, it was so gorgeous.
Yeah.
It was...
Thank you.
So let me ask you a little bit about the construction, because I thought that I understood it differently. It in a way, it's kind of like a veneer on concrete block. That's what I thought it was. But as you were describing it, I think it's a little different in that you actually lay the stone out and then you pour the cement in for...
That's correct. So
okay.
It's not a veneer product.
Ah,
I want to be
even
very
better.
Clear. It's not a veneer product. It's
even
not
better.
On blocks. I don't see that being as structural as what we do, and that is bulk fieldstone, as in the large 60 to 100 pound stones that you'd use on the job site get laid into our forms. So if you can think about the contact between that and the concrete on the backside of these walls, it's extremely rigid in the fact that we've tested and tried to fail our walls by knocking stones out. I'm talking with like excavators and jackhammers, and the stones usually will shear themselves off before they're pulled out of our wall. So it's a bulk product, so you don't have that, you know, thin faced or any kind mm-hmm. of veneered look that you might have just mentioned, which I'm glad you brought up, because it is a bulk fieldstone product. Or if we're using quarried stone, we're still using stone that's 8 to 10 inches thick. So there's a lot of bedding process in there that really gives us, you know, it allows us to tell you that you're gonna have a lifetime warranty on this, because we're all gonna be long gone by the time anyone ever has issues with our walls. Hopefully no one ever has to move them. we know that they're built quite well. So yes, it's a bulk product, and as you mentioned, it's not veneer. And the walls are built in our custom molds and forms. So, yes, everything is built face down. So technically, every time we flip one section up, it's almost like the holidays. I mean, everything is, it's always, each panel has always got its own unique characteristic to it. And the guys that have been doing this are extremely talented and have seen every single wall go out the door. So every single one usually gets a little bit better on the smallest of details. You know, we have a very white glove approach when we're leaving the yard, and we always like to try to find something fun about each different wall and what we can do to make the next one even better.
So tell me how they lock together, because that was pretty fascinating too, because you're building them in sections,
mm-hmm.
and then I guess on site you're kind of joining them. Tell me about that.
Correct. So we pride ourselves on it's a seamless application when we're done. So to do that, all of the walls have interlocking joints. So over the phone, I guess the easiest way to explain that is, you know, they all have zigzag sections. So if you kind of put your fingers together,
mm-hmm.
That's structurally how each panel goes together. And on the backside, there's open pockets on the center of each concrete core, per se. So mm-hmm. almost like a biscuit system in the woodworking industry. And once those panels are put together, concrete's pumped into those open pockets.
Okay.
Kind of, you know, almost a concrete core that wedge that doesn't allow these panels now to either have any kind of differential settling
mm-hmm.
or any shifting.
Okay.
So the panels lock themselves together
okay.
on install.
Okay.
And the fun things that we've done is we've tried to, you know, undermine some of these. We've installed walls and have the, you know, we've undermined an entire section for years at our yard just to see what would happen. So we've had panels literally with no support that haven't had any issues over the last 3 years. Like fun stuff like that. We try to fail these to see mm-hmm. how the engineering holds up. And to date, we've almost just almost broken the crane trying to pick up some panels because it picked up the entire wall, or, you know, where we have no footing under some of these walls for the last couple of years and we don't see any issues. So a little testaments to the product here at the yard.
So tell us about the footing thing, because that...
Well, usually you need that for a stamp, for a traditional build. You do need a footing for a wall, for stability. Yours
Correct.
Don't need a footing?
Oh, no. These we're in New England. You know Mother Nature.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So we have to follow some very similar rules.
Okay.
On walls that are, you know, in the landscape, that they're by themselves, they're not abutting a building... walls under 4 feet high need a crush stone base. All this is on our website at naturalstonewallsolutions.com. So it's very clear. We have all the drawings. All of our walls start with a crush stone footing. And as the walls get higher, the footing detail gets a little more involved, as you can imagine. So it's a concrete footing once the walls go over 5 feet high, and the footing just gets slightly larger as the walls get taller. It's a very simple concept. So a lot of the larger walls that we do, you know, the footing is prepared by an off-site contractor, and we just come in with the walls. And currently we're stamped for walls up to 10 feet high. So we can bring in some massive,
wow,
beautiful walls. And seeing some 10-foot high stone walls getting installed is quite amazing. We have all custom lifting unit frames, so we own the entire process. Most of the times on jobs like that, they just have to get a level concrete footing. And again, if it's touching buildings, it's defrost.
Right, which in New England is, you got to go 3 feet, is that right?
Correct. Yeah. Around here, that's what they like to see.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, but just imagine, you know, it's amazing to be able to do a 10-foot high to a 10-foot high sloped top wall that curves around a driveway out of a stacked Vermont Chesterfield. And that will go in, you know, a 1,000-face install. You know, a wall that's worth $45,000 will be in by, you know, that afternoon. And the client can just come home and see.
It's really...
It's amazing to see the reaction.
Yeah.
They just don't know how that just happened.
Yeah, and
it's especially in stonework.
Yeah.
You think about the mess. You think about the time. So yeah. All these things are just going through people's head of how did this possibly just happen? And so that's a fun thing for us that really keeps us going.
It's like a reality. It's like those makeover
like
reality
right.
shows, right? I mean, you can do a landscape in a day or a weekend, right?
Sure, if you've got 50 craftsmen.
Yeah, but
working.
The stonework is always the part that is,
yeah.
you know... takes time.
It takes time.
You know, carpentry, you're used to seeing it being built in the shop and brought in. But stonework has always kind of been prohibitive, you know, in that regard. So you're kind of following the track of, like, sort of like the way house building is going now, right? Whereas a lot of it is done off-site, and then it's brought to the job site, and it's kind of put together like a puzzle, you know?
It really has moved in that direction where... You know, I can, you know, just that you mentioned about the houses. I mean, back in the day, it was, I don't know if I trusted seeing a little house on a trailer, you know, part A going down. But now
yeah.
they've made some pretty impressive movements on that. And you can get almost a more quality built home
mm-hmm. prefab.
In pieces because
yeah.
you know it's built in a factory to certain standards. And you can still... I don't know that market as well, but I know in ours, you can still get the custom aspects with us, which I think is one of the most important things. So it's fun that we're allowed to do this, but we're not forcing you to buy a certain product. It always starts from your end, from your design, from your passion. So we're allowed to take stones from anywhere. You know, we source a lot of local.
Mm-hmm.
Everything comes out of New England. We can do the proportions. If it's going to be a lower wall, we use smaller stones. If it's a 10-foot high wall, we can flip some nice ones up and see some larger product in there, and it looks beautiful. So those are all the details that we can still customize in each wall. But we do that somewhere else and keeps your job site clean, keeps everyone happy. And then the stonework that goes through, what it also does, especially on the retaining wall side, is you might have to... you have to wait until these walls are done until you start backfilling and starting your other parts of the project.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to mobilize to get a project started and then you have to wait 2 months for the masons to get their part done, I mean, you're moving equipment twice. I mean, this is how the company started. I mean, this is what I was dealing with. You know, on the high end of the scale, it's you're moving equipment twice. There's delays in the schedule. You're there all summer. Next thing you know, you've had a few projects under your belt, and you move that stone pile 4 times to get this job done.
Right.
And,
I know.
And everything is beat up, and it's just, you know, right. And the clients can't wait to see you leave, even
right.
though it's a beautiful... You know, they're excited about it, but they weren't excited about seeing your trucks for 3 weeks.
I know. And Troy, we work in the city in Manhattan. We have to bring stone through people's homes. You know, can you imagine like that
yeah.
process?
Yeah.
You know, like in the suburbs, at least you don't have to go through the house usually, right?
Yeah.
But in Manhattan,
I don't want to put these through the. We've had some very tricky installs. Yeah. We put 10-foot high walls behind people's houses. You know, 155 feet from the road.
Yeah.
So it's we've dealt with some tricky installs. If we know what we're getting into, we take that responsibility on and
mm-hmm. Craning.
But I would say putting it through the front door might be a slight challenge, but
it could be done.
Other than that, I wouldn't be surprised if we haven't done what you know.
I actually want to see you. I want to work on a project with you. I want you to go up and over a brownstone with me, right? I want you to park in Brooklyn Heights on the tiniest, busiest street and go up and over. Because that's what Carmen and I do. A lot of times we've had to use cranes
yeah.
to go up and over and up onto rooftops. But to see a stone wall go up and over a brownstone.
We have trees going up and over and soil and planters and pallets of stone. So it'd be interesting to see that challenge. Maybe the panels would have to be a lot smaller.
Well, they would. I mean, just the scale of it is... Well, hang on, Troy. We have to take a break. I want to come back and ask you a little bit more about the business as a whole. You're listening to We Dig Plants on the Heritage Radio Network.
We'll be right back.
And this one is Carried Away by The Hollows. We'll be right back.
The following program has been brought to you by Tabard Inn. Tabard Inn, Washington, D.C.'s quintessential small hotel, is located on a quiet, tree-lined street just 5 blocks from the White House. Vibrant yet unassuming, the Tabard is comprised of 40 sleeping rooms, each unique in character and design. Feast on eclectic American cuisine in their acclaimed restaurant, or enjoy a cocktail and listen to live jazz in one of their cozy Victorian seating areas. Mingle with travelers from around the world who find the Tabard the only place to stay when taking their travels to Washington. For more information, visit tabardinn.com.
Hi, welcome back to We Dig Plants on the Heritage Radio Network. You hear that sound in the background?
That's a stone wall.
Yeah, what is that? Where's that coming from?
It's a stone wall being built.
Yeah, there's one, I think, coming up and over the structure right now.
I'm going to crawl in it, and you can leave me there. Because I don't want to vote in this election.
No, we're going to build a wall around...
Around myself.
Around ourselves. So we're here with Troy Ginter, talking about stone walls with Natural Stone Wall Solutions of Concord, Mass. So, Troy, we talked a little bit about the process. Now let's talk about the benefits. Now, we know it's faster than, you know, building
cleaner
and cleaner. All right. And Alison and I have a general rule that we tell people they can have 2 out of 3 things.
Mm-hmm.
They can have it. What 2 out of these 2 things? They can have it faster. They can have it cheaper, or they can have it done well. Right. Only 2 out of those 3 apply. So tell us about
That's how we weed through our clients.
Yeah. If they want all three, then we're not working with them. So tell us about the process, you know, the cost benefits. What how does it compare cost-wise for an average size project? You know, not something of like a giant commercial scale, but like a residential size. How does it compare price-wise to building traditionally?
Well, I'm not going to be able to work with you then if we're all three out of the three.
No, just two out of three.
Two out of three.
So I'm glad you asked. We have extremely competitive pricing as the walls get bigger, as you mentioned. The
right.
economy of scale, we can be 30 to 40%, even a little higher, less than traditional on the larger projects due to just the efficiency, the installation times. So that's wonderful. So we have a lot of big projects going on right now. We've saved a lot of money to the clients who therefore can put it back into the landscape and just get the other finishes that they didn't think they could get if mm-hmm. they went with a natural stone product. You know, that's what they go hand in hand with, being, you know, outrageous in price. And if I get this, then I can't, you know, have any budget left for anything else.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So we've been able to do that a lot, which is fantastic. On the smaller residential side, which is where we kind of started, we have a minimum roughly around 200 square feet that is kind of our lower end, where our cost effectiveness, I guess, per se, starts to decrease. Because we have to cover, you know, the process in the yard. So we're putting forms and molds together for any wall. So if it's a very small wall, it's almost, I wouldn't mm-hmm. say the same amount of work, but there's some work behind the scenes that go in. So mm-hmm. on the real small ones, we can't provide the same savings or the price per square foot. You know, it's comparable. It never exceeds some traditional, but it's more apples to apples at the smaller size.
Okay.
I'm not gonna say that we can do a 100 square foot wall for a couple $1,000s and everyone's happy. I mean, you know,
no. right.
the cost
no.
of crane, the cost of a crew.
Right.
So we'd love to do some smaller ones, and throughout the season, a lot of these pile ups, we're able to do a bunch at the same time and make everyone as happy as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we start around $50 a face foot installed for our product, for some of our New England rounds. So to put that out there, a vertical square foot, that's how we keep our numbers. It's very clear. Clients know what they're paying for. So everything's by the vertical square foot. And that's usually how most stonework is priced.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So then when you want to get into a custom, different stone type, it goes up a little bit. But the good thing is, like, curves, things like that don't affect the price.
Really?
We can install the caps for obviously additional costs. There's a fun way we put lights into these walls. We do the returns.
Uh-huh.
We offer a real fun whole package so that, you know, I'd never wanted your design to limit our process. We always joke that, you know, we don't want to get a wall that's a spiral staircase. That would be a fun one, but not what we want to be doing every day. We could do it, but It is some of my production guys might look at me with a funny eye.
Yeah.
But we can do custom, very, very fun projects, and the pricing is very appealing for what you're getting, because we can offer a lifetime warranty. We're offering bulk field stone.
Wow.
It's real. It's not. There's so many imitation products out there.
We know.
That's the first hurdle that I have to get over with people who are just like, oh, you're. Oh, we know about you guys. You're just, it's a concrete surface that's painted.
Right.
That's not us. That's not even close to us.
Right.
That's the only thing that is out there that makes sense, that, you know, what else could you possibly be talking about? So once we get over that hurdle, we really, really get engaged with the clients. So as the wall is smaller, the cost savings are there, but they're not as dramatic. And as, you know, you get into the mid-sized projects, that's where you really start seeing some price savings. And on the bigger ones, we've done some work for schools. We've done, you know, we've wrapped soccer fields and had seat walls, and
mm-hmm.
you know, we've saved them enough that they can afford to do all these other fun items. And it's a fun project to be on, since knowing that, you know, we were able to do that for them, and they were able to get I guess, have their cake and eat it too. I mean, I don't want to be too taboo. It's that, but that's what we can offer, and it's fun seeing that go in.
So tell us about the patent, because you guys are working on a patent. So I think for me that's what was, I mean, the wall was exquisite, and like I said, we stood there with our jaws on the floor for like an hour and a half, because it is automated, but at the same time there's
a hand of the craftsman in.
Yeah,
when we were in New England last December. It was a relatively small
local trait. Stone.
Yeah. There wasn't a lot that we got excited about there, to be honest, Troy. It was a burly show. There was a lot of chainsaws and a lot of equipment. And there were really only two stone products that we got excited mm-hmm. about. One was these amazing concrete pavers that look like a lot of different other natural materials, and your walls. So
tell us about the patent.
Yeah, the patent is what fascinated us too.
We have a utility and process patent.
Okay.
For the whole system, and it carries it through from how the wall is built, how it's how it's lifted, how it's transported, and how it's installed. So it's a utility and process patent. It's a patent pending, and it's basically covers us from how the wall is built to how the wall is installed, and with the engineering behind it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. For us to walk away from the job and say, well, most importantly, for us to walk away from your job with the stamp drawings that you need to show the town or show the client or show the building inspector. So that's what's been in the process for the last 3 to 4 years. It's a patent pending process. You know how some of these take a long time. That's what we're currently in, and that's what we're filing for and should be hearing answers from shortly.
You're so smart to patent it also. I think it was remarkable, the foresight that you guys had, the cleanliness, the localness, the streamlined efficiency of it, and then the like icing on the cake was the patent. So what's...
Because you can't patent stone.
Right?
You can't patent stone.
Right.
You can patent plants. We know
apparently.
All about that.
Yep, you can. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But stone, well, you can't. So you patented what you can.
Right.
The intellectual property, so to speak, right?
Correct.
So what are you interested in franchising once this is all, wrapped up and it's buttoned up, the patent?
Yes. Well, I would say our one limiting factor is transportation. We are moving natural walls that weigh an extremely, they mm-hmm. weigh a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get into the long distance traveling, it's when our costs start increasing.
Mm-hmm.
So having multiple stores or multiple locations a little bit closer to where some of our work is going
mm-hmm.
is our next step.
Mm-hmm.
So having smaller facilities in the markets that we want to work in is where we're going. Having one monstrous facility in one location in New England can work against us if you're asking us to get walls down to Brooklyn and it's a small one.
Right.
I got to travel 3.5 hours to get there. That's not going to work.
Yeah.
But if we have locations closer to you, and a lot of the quarries that we get are in the upstate New York area, the Whitehall, there's stuff. I mean, we're all over New England.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very fun market. Stone's a very popular,
mm-hmm.
It's very popular product. So that's where we see this going.
I mean, but I see it. I also see it in Denver, in Colorado. I see it in San Francisco. I see it down south. I mean, I was thinking.
Being just outside of. We know the demographics that work for our product.
Yeah.
So you basically just hit the nail on the head there. So being in the just outside those demographics and those mm-hmm. places you just mentioned are exactly where we have our eyes on.
I was thinking about you guys too as I was. I basically spent the weekend watching the storm down south. I am a weather junkie and especially hurricanes. I'm just fascinated by the power, and being in New England, you guys have certainly suffered your share of of storms, and stone is the one thing that doesn't move, you know? And I was thinking, in anticipation of our talk today, I was like, man, they need some stone walls down there, you know, as barriers, you know, as seawalls. And that's what I was thinking, is like the commercial aspects of your product down in Charleston and down in these historic Savannah, down in these historic cities.
Have you used it in that application in some capacity, like along the water?
We've done a lot of work on lakes,
okay,
on some ocean fronts.
Hmm.
And there's so many applications for our product.
We're
picking and choosing.
Right.
But yes, when you talk about this, it's, you know, we're near the lakes region in Winnipesaukee, and and the lakes come down in the fall. You have a short window to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look how appealing this can be. Same thing when we do work for schools. You know, they have a short window in the summertime.
Yes.
So we're doing a lot of work for academics. They have a summer to get the construction projects done.
Mm-hmm.
They have our walls built, scheduled, and sitting ready for when it's time for installation. You mentioned, like, you know, South Carolina. I mean, I know the hurricane came up the coast. Everything gets devastated and battered, and all of our trees and plants get blown out. But the one thing left is our walls.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've done work in Western Mass, and a couple years ago there was a tornado, and I was talking to the engineer that had our walls in, and we knew those didn't move. It was a scary time for a few of those towns because tornadoes in Western Mass don't really ever happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it did. It did. So, you know, we were, you know, thankful that nothing too bad happened, but, you know, we knew that our walls didn't go anywhere.
Right.
So it's fun that you mentioned also, our product is really limitless on the face or the style. So moving to these other demographics is going to be very easy for us. Out in Colorado, you got the Red Rocks. You got a different style of stone.
Mm-hmm.
You go down south, they have different styles of granite.
Mm-hmm.
It's all, we've done it all. We've played with all those stone types. So it's a lot of fun being able to switch things up or match exactly what a client wants to be, to make their setting or to match your garden. You know, just that little touch to it. Really, we're allowed to play with that. You're allowed to show us what you like. If you don't see it here, but you've seen it somewhere else, we get that a lot, and even though it causes some challenges of, you know, procuring different styles or going somewhere where you don't like to go to get something, we still are happy to do it because at the end of the day, we want to hold true to, you know, it's custom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's yours, and it's a lot of fun. So moving to these other demographics are in the short-term future, and we know that it's going to be a hurdle, but it's not in the fact that using those stone types and just using this process at a different location is going to be rather easy.
Mm-hmm. So it's very adaptable, and it'll be local. It'll always be local.
Everybody needs a wall.
Seamless,
right?
You know, and it won't look out of place. One of the biggest challenges that Alice and I have when we deal with those Nico block or those block walls is it just, you know, it's very utilitarian. They've tried very hard to sort of make it look natural, but you're right. It's squared off. The curves are never quite right, and it doesn't age well.
The color is,
you know,
weird.
It's
injected.
It's really hard to make it look right with land, you know, to make it look integral with the plantings and the house. It just always looks...
It's Kraft macaroni and cheese versus homemade macaroni and cheese.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know?
Or if you want the back of Home Depot, you can go get those blocks.
Exactly.
It's fine. Unfortunately, sometimes the projects that we do, they're forced to have a budget. Everyone has a budget.
Yeah.
And
no,
sometimes, you know, it's... They're excited because they thought they were going to be forced to use that, and they found out we were almost just outside that budget, but they were able to get us in.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, you know, it was how excited they are knowing that they don't have to get stuck with that, and they can get a custom stone wall to match their campus or to match their site.
Yeah.
That's just, and like I said, if you don't see us for the few days that we do the installation, you're going to walk by and think that stone walls have been there for 50 years.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to last for 50 years or 100 years.
No,
it's not going anywhere. Right.
So Troy, much longer than you and I.
Yeah.
I guarantee that.
Troy, give us a couple of examples of sites that people could take a look. You know, obviously commercial or open sites. We don't want people going to people's private residences. But where can people see it in New England if they're going up there this fall, leaf peeping and stuff?
To name a few, we've done a freestanding wall at the University of New Hampshire's new campus. They had a new cafeteria going in. Mm-hmm. We've done a lot of work. We're in the Concord, Metro West Boston area. Mm-hmm. We did some schools. We did some work for Lawrence Academy. It's in Groton. Mm-hmm. North Andover, the Brooks School. Again, they put a soccer field on a hill, so you can imagine walls and walls, and it's a real fun site where we did a lot of seat walls. So instead of grandstands, you have manicured lawns, and you're sitting on stone walls.
Oh, beautiful.
So nice. Go for miles.
That's beautiful.
We've got some fun ones coming up for Mount Holyoke, stacked Goshen stone. Mm-hmm. So we're excited about that one going in. LaSalle College, that's a Ashlar Weymouth blend. So that's one of actually it's going to be an exposed mortared finish. Mm. We do a lot of work right outside of Boston where it's, they still have some of the older style looking walls. So you see a little bit of the exposed mortar, and we match that.
Mm-hmm.
Addresses, I'm sure I can put on your website or give you additional. I mean, I don't know physical addresses.
No,
right.
Top of my
this
hand
is good.
Right now, but
this is
I
good.
Don't want all the people on your radio channel dropping by one small person's house. But
no, this is good. That's why we ask for public institutions where people can see it because they need to see it, for
they
themselves.
They do, and I would love for people to go to our website. That's where we know people are looking. That's where people go at the end of the day, and they want to see you, and they want to browse in their privacy. So our website is geared for that. It has a lot of the past projects. We have a lot of fun ones that were installed this year that will be getting put on the website this winter. So, we love seeing the walls. We like seeing the landscape coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So we usually take pictures about a year after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's kind of more of an established landscape. So that's where we're at. And yes, there's so many different styles. The website's got just I guess the tip of the iceberg of the projects that we've done. We've worked for some really fun landscape architects and engineers that have had us just do some amazing projects.
Mm-hmm. And that's natural stone.
We're excited about that, and we're excited. Everyone's happy with us, and every time someone uses our product, it's great. We see them again, so I think those are some of the ones that you could go see now.
Okay.
And like I said, I'd be more than happy to.
Yeah, send us some more photos. People want to go check it out. It's naturalstonewallsolutions.com.
But one last thing, because I just want to hammer home. I know I'm sounding like Bill Clinton right now, just like pounding away. But I just...
Ouch.
I know. Pounding. Get it? I just love that technology, that you have taken Henry Ford technology, and you have applied it to the oldest farming application
before farming.
It's
prehistoric.
It's just amazing. So thank you for your ingenuity and your like foresight.
It's great.
It's really wonderful. And good luck with the product. And I can't wait to watch you guys keep growing. So great.
And hopefully we can work together sometime. We'll stay in touch, Troy. Thanks for being on the show.
Allison, Carmen, thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure talking with you today. And like I said, we'll be in touch.
Okay. Thanks, Troy.
All right.
So if you missed any part of the show, it's available on the website, heritageradionetwork.com, or you can get it on iTunes. Please leave comments and join our Facebook page, Groundworks, Inc., We Dig Plants, or visit our new website, WeDigPlantsPodcast.com, or on Twitter. There's a lot of people really interested in Twitter now. There were like 60,000
3 a.m.
Twitters. We don't mind you Twittering at 3 a.m.
Let's talk stone walls at 3 a.m.
Instead of other things, pound We Dig Plants, and also on Instagram. At Groundworks Gardens NYC. Thanks for listening.
Happy gardening.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website, or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awele, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.